What's up, Beardos? You're listening to a classic episode of The Bearded Vegans.
Basically, our whole philosophy boils down to don't be a jerk.
Don't really answer your question first time. Not answering your question. I really hope people didn't tune in to hear us talking about beards.
Beards.
What does that mean, Paul?
The big beans and the big brown red bowl. Red bowl.
Who knows, Andy? I don't know.
Welcome to the show. I'm Paul.
And I'm Andy.
And we are The Bearded Vegans, a podcast featuring a dissection of all things vegan.
If you're just tuning in for the first time, you can find all of our previous episodes at thebeardedvegans.com. And you can always reach us by emailing thebeardedvegans@gmail.com.
In today's classic episode, we're going to dust off the archives and take a look at 73 cows.
Paul, I just want to say right up front, I do understand that I think we're stretching the definition of a classic episode because this was originally aired in April of 2019.
Almost 2 years, Andy. Almost 2 years. That's a pretty long time, I'd say. I'm sure there are plenty of people who have not heard our review of this episode.
Absolutely. So what are we doing here? What is a classic episode? Well, first off, I would recommend that you listen to last week's episode in which we kind of talk more extensively about the future of the podcast and what we're trying to do here. And Paul is smiling at me for some reason.
Unless it's your first time, then don't listen to last week's episode where we said, if this is your first time, don't listen to this episode.
This is actually some sort of wild treasure hunt that we're sending people on. Anyway, the purpose of the classic episodes, one, they give us a little bit of a break. Two, we are using them as a way to kind of set the table and sort of give some context for some episodes that are going to be coming out in the near future. And for our purposes here, that is a long teased sanctuary series that we have been wanting to do for quite some time. And we finally got up the gumption to actually do it. So in this series, we are going to be talking to a number of people who either run sanctuaries or are involved in sanctuary life in some way, shape, or form to get to the bottom of some of the tougher ethical questions that have arisen in our conversations about sanctuaries and the ethics of care and things that we are obviously not personally equipped to answer. And we thought it'd be cool to turn to some people that have wrestled with those types of questions. And we're going to ask some similar questions to a lot of them. And I'm sure that we'll get some different answers on that. So I am looking forward to this one because we get to talk to some cool people that we think are doing good work. But also I hope it can act as a real building block and foundation for future discussions about sanctuaries.
Yeah, Andy, and I think we've mused on some of the topics we hope to touch upon with the issues, with the questions that we're going to be asking these people. We've mused on some of these topics, these questions before in previous episodes. And so, like you were saying, I'm very excited to hear what these people who are actually there doing the work, what they have to, how they would answer some of these questions. It's no longer a hypothetical of you and I talking about these things. It's now, these are the people that are actually doing these things. So I think it's going to be really cool. I'm very excited to do these interviews.
Absolutely. And we have been calling on you, our wonderful listeners, to send in your head scratchers about sanctuaries and sort of the ethics of running a sanctuary. We've gotten some amazing questions so far. Some, Paul, that I was like, well, I had never even thought about that as an ethical concern before, but we'll certainly put it to the people that we are interviewing. And we will stop talking about this series because it'll be out in 2 weeks from now is when we're going to start that. For now, we're going to set the table by replaying some reviews that we have done of some films that are related to sanctuaries in some way, shape, or form, starting this week with our review of 73 Cows. This is a short film. It's only about 15 minutes long, so it gets the Paul Steller stamp of approval, I am sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And Andy, if people aren't familiar with how we usually do these classic episodes, we're going to be like trimming it up a little bit in that we're going to cut out the front end and some of the back end of the episode. And we're just going to be playing the actual review of the film, because I will say I was laughing to myself as I listened this morning to this episode, we're like, hey, this is a mini episode, and don't worry, we're still going to talk about food stuff. And we talk quite a bit about food stuff, which, you know, we don't do as much anymore. But so that gave me a good chortle. But we're going to be cutting that stuff out and just giving you just the review.
Yeah, so we're going to be playing our thoughts of that film in a bit. But Paul, I do want to say before we go into this review that both 73 Cows and the film that we'll be reviewing next week, or replaying the review of at least, which we'll announce that at the end of the episode, are both films that for the most part you and I really enjoyed, which I would say it's rare for us to find some films that we don't really have, like we're reaching to find some sort of critique or nitpick to make of it. Not that those things aren't worth discussing, but like overall, we felt like they're pretty easy films to recommend. And 73 Cows for me definitely fell in that category. If I remember correctly, my biggest complaint was just that there wasn't more of this short film. So I think that it's an easy recommendation. It's nice to bring out reviews of things that we enjoyed and think that people should watch and would enrich their lives to do so.
Yeah, Andy, I certainly had a few critiques, as I feel like we always do for 73 Cows, but overall, it was definitely one of my higher rated movies that we've watched.
Definitely. And Paul, I think this film is notable for us because it's the first piece of media that we ever consumed from Alex Lockwood. Of course, we recently did a review of Test Subjects, another short film by Alex Lockwood, another one that by and large, we were mostly quite positive on. And again, a film that I wish there was more of. So I know that Alex is doing The End of Medicine. That's directed by Alex. It's produced by Keegan Coon from Cowspiracy. And I'm looking at this now. Apparently, it's executive produced by Rooney Mara and Joaquin Phoenix. So the title has me a little bit worried, but I'm very curious to see what Alex does with a full-length film. So just putting that out there.
Yeah. And Andy, do we have anything else there? Should we give the people the review?
I think let's just get right into it.
So we're going into the past here. We're going to play you the trailer and then get right into our classic review of 73 Cows.
It was soul destroying, that's how it felt. But wanting to keep the farm working as a farm, I just needed to keep doing it until I could find what else to do.
It became clear that we really have to find a solution and to get out of cattle farming.
So what you just heard was that 37-second clip. That is the full trailer for 73 Cows, because if they did like a 2.5-3 minute trailer, you would actually get them almost like a quarter of the film, 20% of the film. This is, as mentioned before, this is a short film. It's 15 minutes long. It's available for free on Vimeo. We will put a link to this in the show notes so you can check it out. I would say it's just 15 minutes of your time. So even if you don't love it, you know, it's not a huge time suck. I'm sure a lot of people spend 15 minutes doing stuff that's a lot more useless than watching this documentary.
I like that the trailer for 73 Cows is 37 seconds.
Do you think they planned it like that?
It's possible. Certainly possible. But yeah, no, Andy, I agree with you that it is, I think it's worth watching. Just to, I mean, pause the episode right now, come back in 15 minutes and boom, you'll know exactly what we're talking about.
Yes, yes. Okay, so Paul, do you think I feel like the premise of this film alone kind of spoils anything that could possibly be spoiled. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly like more information is revealed as the movie goes on. I guess that is the nature of watching a movie. You are obtaining more information as you go on, but I don't think it's worth doing a spoiler free and spoiler section. I think we can just say everything is going to be quote spoiled.
Yeah. Not that there's too much to spoil. All right, so let's do this thing. The plot synopsis from IMDb is: a cattle farmer struggles with his conscience every time he takes his cows to slaughter, and so sets about doing something extraordinary. And as we sort of quickly learn, that something extraordinary is
to give away these cows, to most of the cows, to animal sanctuaries and to start a veganic farm. So this film was directed and produced by Alex Lockwood. It stars Jay Wild and I don't believe the name was ever pronounced in the film, but Katia Wild. And also, of course, the titular 73 cows. I learned, it almost took me longer to read the Wikipedia page for this film than it did to actually watch this film. But according to the Wikipedia page, if it is to be believed, the film was made with a team of four people and no budget. And they said the only money they spent was to get two cars to drive 90 minutes each way for six times total for all of the filming. So this film, incredibly low budget, although clearly it's been made with, I'm assuming, some rather nice equipment because it looks, I would say, pretty phenomenal. So they had, you know, some means of procuring the equipment or already owned it. But this film, this little 15-minute film, Paul, has garnered a lot of attention. It won the BAFTA Awards for the Best British Short Film, and that's basically like the British version of the Academy Awards from what I can gather. And that is actually, apparently, the BAFTA Awards, that's the reason why this film was unavailable for so long. I guess for whatever reason, they had to withhold it from the public in order to be eligible for these awards. So it was put up on Vimeo 6 months ago, and then it got taken down, and then they did this big publicity push to let people know that it was become available again on April 1st. It also won the Audience Favorite Award from the Four Seasons Film Festival. It got, quote, top honors from a Canadian Vegan Film Festival, the Toronto Vegan Film Festival. I'm not sure exactly which honor that is, but Paul, this film has been getting a lot of attention. According to Plant-Based News, it garnered 150,000 views in 2 days. And that's basically since it was posted on April 1st. It's at 154,000 right now. So, Paul, with all this attention, What do you think about this film? Is it worthy of this attention? Is it worthy of a BAFTA award?
So, like you said, Andy, it is beautifully shot and it is incredibly well done. It's like a very professionally made movie. As someone who knows little to none about what goes into the creation of this sort of thing or how to make things look good, it does, like, as someone without that knowledge, it looks very good. It looks great. With that being said, and I did enjoy this movie, Andy, with that being said, I am surprised at all, like, the awards and all the attention that this is getting, because, like, it cannot be just vegans or vegetarians that are making this movie win all these awards. Like, it just has to be, Andy, non-vegans that are being this receptive to this movie. And Of course, this could be people who don't necessarily care as much about the issues being discussed in the movie and are more so judging this movie or giving it the awards and all this stuff based on how well it was made. That's certainly possible. But to me, it seems to indicate that to some extent, people are really being moved by this film. Is that a correct assessment, do you think? Or a correct speculation?
I would have to say so. I mean, it got a pretty nice review in The Guardian. I was looking, you know, it hasn't been reviewed a ton of times because short films are not the ones that get, like, a ton of reviews, but it seems to be very positively received. I would attribute that to, one, as mentioned, beautiful film, very well constructed, and, you know, just sort of a concise exploration of this event that happened. But also, it's very non-preachy. It seems very non-judgmental. It does not have graphic footage at all. So I would say it's very palatable. It's sort of something that I think a lot of people can watch and understand and not feel too much like they're being sort of beat over the head with a vegan message.
Yeah, I could see that. I guess, Andy, I liked this movie, but I found myself not as moved by it as some other movies that we've watched. Specifically, I'm thinking of, I remember watching Peaceable Kingdom and being very moved by that, a movie which I would argue has striking similarities to what's going on in this movie.
Paul, if Peaceable Kingdom, now granted, this was made Peaceful Kingdom was made a very long time ago. It's one of the earlier documentaries that we reviewed. And by that, I mean one of the earliest made documentaries that we reviewed. If Peaceable Kingdom had the production value of 73 Cows, that would be close to my perfect animal rights film, I think.
but
alas, it does not. And it's, I think some audiences might not perceive Peaceable Kingdom well, purely for the fact that the formatting is not the most desirable.
Yes, and I agree. And but you know what I mean? Like it, I was certainly moved to an extent by this story, but I found myself not, I did not like connect with this character. I mean, it's not a character, it's literally a real human. I did not connect with this person or these people as much as I have in previous films. Maybe that's because it's a short film. We usually don't do short films. We have more time to develop these, to develop our love for these characters. And this was more so just like boom, boom, boom. But then again, it's like, I can, Andy, last night I watched a video about a guy that was biking around the world and he found a stray kitten and like adopted the kitten. And it was a 3-minute video. And I like fell in love with this man and his cat. So it's not like, it's not the time. I don't think it's the time thing. I think it's just this person particularly, while like, I love the things that, I love what happened. I love what he did, what he ended up doing, and his conflict and all that stuff. It's like I connected with that, but I just could not find myself connecting with him as much as I have some other main protagonists in some of the other films that we've watched.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I was not blown away by the film. I mean, I really did love this film. I thought, or at least I thought, it was a pretty great 15 minutes that I watched. And I don't know if I'm just sort of being won over by the fact that it was very competently made. And unfortunately, a lot of films that we have reviewed have not necessarily fallen into that category, that very low bar that should be set for any film. And maybe that's why, but I agree that there was some little, this je ne sais quoi, this X factor that was missing that didn't quite pull me in as much as I wanted to. And I agree. I think that it may be because it was such a short film that we didn't really get to spend more time with Jay and Katya. Like honestly, my biggest critique was I wish I got more of this story, because the story that we got was basically, it was mostly just these are the events that happened, and it did not explore the mindset for the most part. There's a little bit of this, but I wanted to go much deeper into the mindset of someone that would give up their family's livelihood all for the sake of their changing ethics. And you know, I feel like that's such rich ground for dramatic tension and exploration, and just a look into the human experience and all of these things that film can explore. And it felt like it kind of left that on the table. It didn't really go into that as much as it could have and should have. So it was mostly just a film that was like, here's the stuff that happened. And not so much, why did this happen? How did he wrestle with this cognitive dissonance? All of those things. It was mostly just like, he made this decision and he had to figure out the logistics of this happening. So I don't know if that's the fault that it was too short of a film. It's rare that I would ever say a film is too short. You know, like it, normally it's too long and you're thinking about what they could have cut out or something like that. But I feel like they probably could have gotten that across within 15 minutes and maybe just weren't thinking to ask certain questions, or maybe they asked those questions and did not receive answers. I mean, it seems like Jay, as they mentioned in the film, is like a very sort of emotionally closed off person. Mm-hmm. And so maybe he just was not offering the introspection that they really needed, or wasn't able to articulate it in a way that would have been satisfying for the film. I think that is entirely possible. But I did to me, one of the most interesting things was when Katya said that Jay seems like more open now. He talks more about what he is thinking and planning and doing. And that was something I was like, ooh, give me more of this. I want to learn more about that. I want to know more about the connection between starting, you know, giving up the cow, starting a veganic farm, and why he has now become more emotionally available to Katya. And that was just sort of like a little thing that's just there. And so it did feel like there was a lot left unexplored. And, you know, I don't think there's a perfect length for any film. I think films sort of demand the length that they need to be. And, you know, if someone can get their point across in 3 minutes, great. If someone can get their point across, if they need an 8-part docuseries, that's fine as well. And it felt like this one was just a little bit shortchanged on the subject matter.
Yes. Yeah. That's how I feel. And certainly I feel like all of the elements of a very emotional story were there. Like you said, Andy, it was more so just the way it was presented was like, and then this happened and this happened and this happened. Because like when I, at the very beginning, the way that they start it is talking about, is Jay talking about how like this has been his family business. This is like all that he knows and all that. And like, I can relate to that, but I can certainly empathize with that. And like, that's the sort of stuff that we do often see in these other, in a lot of these other similar types of stories that I do often empathize with. And I can, like, I can feel the, like the tension and the struggle of as like a middle-aged person trying to make this big lifestyle change and go against everything that you've ever known. And like, I imagine that's like an incredibly trying thing to do. And Andy, there was one part that reminded me of, you remember the movie, the other movie that we watched recently that had the one person who was like left his career as, I want to say like a lab technician or something, and then became a whistleblower and then became an animal advocate, but then it like kind of dissolved his marriage because of all the tension that was going on. And like, there were the shots where it was like showing the two of them together and you can like feel the tension and all that stuff. Do you remember
what
I'm talking
about? Was
that
eating animals?
I think it was eating animals. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like that, I remember that. I feel like when we reviewed that, that movie, that was one part where we were both like very compelled by that moment, because you can literally, it's like you were seeing this happening in front of you, and you could feel the tension. And obviously it's like, if you're making a documentary about something that has already happened, you can't go back and film things that were in the past. But they do at one point, I don't remember if it was Jay or Katya that said this, but I think it was Katya that was saying like, oh yeah, he was becoming like more and more cut off from like his emotions and from communicating, and it was causing fights and stuff like that. And like, that's the analogous scene to the eating animals scene. But in the eating animals, it's like, we literally see it happening. And that's why it's, I feel like it's more compelling. Not that I want, you know, not that I want, like, not that I want that to happen for them just for the sake of like, yes, entertain me with this movie. It's like,
yeah,
I don't want that to happen.
Right, but it would have been better if their marriage fell apart.
But do you know what I mean? It's like, it's a much different thing to just say something happened and then actually see it happened. And of course, I feel like this is not the fault of anyone involved in the movie, because once something has already been resolved, you can't be like, all right, now let's make a dramatized reenactment of what happened and we're going to film it and that's what we're going to show.
Yeah, there's certainly limits to what they could have filmed. And so that, you know, it's hard to really fault them for the fact that, you know, I was reading an interview with the filmmaker, Alex Lockwood, I believe his name, that basically Alex found out about this story and just assumed clearly, obviously, someone's already making a film about this because it's such a fantastic story. And then eventually realized that was not the case and sort of reached out to Jay. So, yeah, there's a limitation to how much can you do. I mean, I was surprised they got as much footage that sort of, you know, the opening footage makes it feel like you're still on the farm with the cows that are going to get sent to slaughter, you know, which is obviously clearly not the case because this event has taken place already. But so I feel like with what they were able to gather, they did a pretty great job of shaping it in a way that felt like you were still following along with current events.
Yes. And I have, up until this point, Andy, I feel like I've been very, very critical of this film. like I did really enjoy this. And I think also very importantly, while, like you said, they weren't hitting people over the head with this vegan message, which I think maybe some that might be a critique for some people watching this movie, is that they didn't push it. Maybe they didn't push it as hard as they could have.
They didn't like push it real good.
Like, even, oh, well, you made me lose my train of thought, but I just think that there was not, like, it's rare that we find a movie that does not have problematic aspects in it. Mm-hmm. And I cannot think of a problematic aspect of this movie. And I feel like that is incredibly rare to find in a pro animal rights movie.
You know, it makes my circuit board overload and is like, does not compute.
So like, if that is awesome. I feel like they didn't, because even if it never says if Jay and Katya are vegan, if they're vegetarian, if they're reducedarian, it never says what kind of diet they have, but it throws in the word vegan once, the veganic gardening. It throws it in there once, and it also never...
I think it was in there twice.
Oh, is it? Okay. But more importantly, it never allows for the possibility of something less than that veganic farming. You know, yeah. It's like they were using animal products, and now they are not using animal products. And it's like you know, Andy, everything's usually on a spectrum for us, but this was like, I feel like one end, and then they just flipped it to the other end, and they didn't leave any gray area in between of like, oh, but we're also going to milk the cows and blah, you know, all that stuff.
Well, Paul, there's actually, I have two little interesting tidbits of information for you. The first of which is that the director and producer Alex Lockwood apparently was vegetarian before starting this film and then switched to being vegan, at least dietarily, after making the film.
Interesting.
So that's pretty cool. And then also, according to the Wikipedia page, let me just read this. Jay Wild grew up around cattle farming, though faced reservations about the ethics of raising cows for food. When he inherited the 172-acre Bradley Nook Farm from his father in 2011, he moved from dairy farming to organic beef production, believing this to be less harmful to the cows.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I feel like that sentiment is not necessarily shocking. There's a lot of people who say there's more cruelty in a glass of milk than there is in a steak. But it is kind of interesting that someone that wasn't necessarily coming at it from like a vegan background would make that assessment. And so that's, I wish that kind of fact was included in the film as well. Like, there's a lot about the film that I like in that it basically shows that even on these really small farms, they're still taking these cows to slaughter. And, you know, normally one of my talking points when people bring up small farms is I say, well, they're still getting picked up by the transport truck and it's a horrible experience. And this is a farm that is so small, it's not even worth the transport truck coming. They're just bringing one or two cows at a time. But it also, to me, it's like, look at the trauma to this human being that you're contributing to when you are purchasing from this ultra small farm that's doing it in a way that most people would probably say is the best way that one could raise animals for food. And that, like, obviously there's the death of the animal and the trauma to the animal, but also look at the trauma to the human being you're contributing to. You know, you're asking someone to raise these animals in such small, local, personal conditions that some of these farmers will form a bond with these animals, and then they still have to take them off to slaughter. And that can be a really traumatizing thing, as this short film shows. So I thought that was something really powerful. And that was something that I have not really seen explored in any other documentaries, except for, I guess, maybe Peaceable Kingdom. But this one sort of did it in a way that really made it clear to me. But I don't know. I just thought that was something that it was like a worthy addition to the animal rights film library.
Yeah, no, for sure. And Andy, that is, I did not know that little tidbit from Wikipedia, that he had changed from dairy farming to cattle farming or to beef production. And I agree, I think you had said like, oh, I wish they'd include that. I agree with you that that would have been nice to throw that in there. At the same time, I did what something I did love about this movie was that it's almost like there was no, they almost didn't even need to say like how cruel everything is that's going on. It's just like it was so evident by how the movie was constructed and by how what Jay's kind of feelings about everything was, everything is, and how he reacted to everything. It's just like they didn't need to go into like, oh, here's the specifics of how cruel this is. It's like you just get, you get, it's like, no, this is bad, and I need to stop doing this. Like, that's, you know.
Yeah, well, there's this one moment that I just thought like sort of was kind of a just like a punch to the gut, was the moment, I think it was Katya that was saying this, but basically saying that, you know, you're telling yourself that what you're doing is like you're doing a good thing, or even maybe that you're just, you know, you have to do this because this is how you survive. But then Katya says, you know what you're doing and it's horrible, you know, like this sort of this thing that's just sort of there for them and probably for a lot of farmers. And I hope if this film can serve any purpose, I hope other farmers can see this film and see that there is an alternative to what they're doing right now. It has me thinking about some of the films that we watched, like Eating Animals, that had that chicken farmer, right, that was in the system and he became the whistleblower, and but he was still running his chicken farm. I forget his name, but you know, it has me thinking about people like that, that maybe just don't realize that there could be a community of people that would embrace him and farmed animal sanctuaries that would take in the chickens, and that there could be an alternative life. And so I think that that message coming from a former, you know, a cattle farmer was much more powerful than a bunch of vegans sort of beating down his door and being like, you have to change, because they have not been in his shoes. And here's a documentary of someone that's been in shoes similar to his. And I think that that could be a really powerful use of this documentary.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I guess, Andy, the one thing that I wish, I mean, granted, this is still a relatively new change for them, but I had a moment where I was like, please let them say, because when they did the card, the 1 year later, you know, the 1 year later transition, I was so hoping that it was going to go back to their farm and be like, oh, and look how we are prospering now on this mm-hmm. Like plant agriculture. And I wanted to see that so badly, because I'm like, oh, I hope that they can make it like this, because it's like I feel like it is incredibly difficult to be a farmer, either if you're raising livestock or just plants or growing plants. Like, it I feel like it's an incredibly difficult lifestyle, and I imagine it's hard to keep up with it, you know, and especially if this is something that you have never done before and now you're making this big change. Like, they don't necessarily know how to grow these crops, so I don't know. I hope that it worked out for them.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, in my wildest dreams, this film becomes a full length film that explores all of the stuff we've been talking about a little bit more and shows a little bit more of the after, and hopefully shows them actually prospering with their veganic farming. I think that would be like the best case scenario. I'm not holding my breath for it, but hopefully the attention from this film could maybe garner a little more exploration of all of the themes that are just barely hinted at in the short film.
And hopefully, too, the attention that Jay and Katya specifically get from this film will hopefully help support their business. You know, whether or not that's local people buying their food, or, you know, like local restaurants or something utilizing their crops. I hope that the attention helps them to survive with this new endeavor.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, overall, Paul, I thought this was a very well done film. It fell short in certain aspects, but I have no hesitation to recommend this film to anybody to watch, to get a little insight into the fact that even small local farming is harmful to both animals and to the humans that are responsible for them. And I think that this is a worthy BAFTA winner. Not that I've seen the others that were in the category, but I'm glad that this film is getting the attention that it is. I don't think that this film could do any harm.
I agree. And I would say check it out. It's only 15 minutes and you know, give them another view and hopefully make this, like, spread it around, make it more popular, and maybe something else will come of this. Maybe a full length, Andy. We'll see. But yeah, I would say 100% recommend checking it out. Go watch it.
Andy, welcome back to the present. It's Paul and Andy from the future of that review, the current present now, and you are past by the time you're listening to this.
I was going to say.
And you may have noticed that many times in that review, we compared this to Peaceable Kingdom. And in fact, dear listener, I know we've purposefully not said it yet, but Peaceable Kingdom will be next week's Bearded Vegans classic review that we'll be bringing back. One of our, I might say, most referenced reviews probably that we've ever had throughout this podcast. So I'm excited to bring that one back. And if you want to, you know, get in on the action, if you have never seen Peaceable Kingdom and you would like to see Peaceable Kingdom, you can watch that before we release re-release next week's Bearded Vegans classic. Should still be free online, Peaceable Kingdom, I believe. I just watched it recently, so hopefully it's still free.
Yeah, so we will put a link to where you can find Peaceable Kingdom in the show notes, but we also trust you know how to use the Google machine and you'll be able to find it right quick. So yeah, I'm pleased to bring back the review of Peaceable Kingdom, if only because we reference it so gosh dang much.
Yeah, and you don't need to go on like any weird websites or anything, Kazaa, to get it. It's on the Peaceable Kingdom website is where you can watch the film.
So with that said, if you want to send us feedback, you can email us at thebeardedvegans@gmail.com. If you would like to support the podcast, get access to bonus episodes, merch, all that good stuff, you can go to thebeardedvegans.com/beardo, spelled B-E-A-R-D-O. And in the meantime, Paul, I really just need you to say the following 7 words.
We are the Bearded Vegans, signing off.